This is Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. Very recently, we have been speaking to a lot of tech and also productivity managers and companies. And we're continuing on with that journey. This time round, it's with Adobe.
I have with me Simon Dale, Managing Director of the Southeast Asian business. Simon, thanks for taking the time to speak with us. I just want to let you know, I am a hardcore user. I have Premiere Pro, I have Photoshop, I have all the other stuff.
Oh, wow.
From professional account to personal account, I'm paying subscription. And the reason is because it works. That's all I hear. That's the whole point. And of course, I would like it to be free, but you know, not everything can be free. And I used to, and this is me going on a very public acknowledgement. I used to rip off Photoshop for free when I was in university, but I can't do that anymore, I suppose. But that's the idea, right? People like it so much to a point where they just use the pirated stuff. But now I think all of us are earning an income and therefore we can actually buy the real goods. That's the whole idea. But the issue now is that personalization is important. We're looking at how your company can personalize it a little bit more and see how this affects user experience better. Not every size fits all. And perhaps we can talk a little bit more on that, Simon.
Sure, Ibrahim, and thank you for the opportunity to be here today, and thank you for being a user of Adobe Solutions. Yes, so Adobe's well known for the creative tools, but we also help a lot of brands across the world manage their digital customer experience, as you've mentioned, and today it's a really hot topic, particularly personalizing that experience.
I think issue is on how you want to grow your business in Southeast Asia. Do you feel that consumers here are a little bit different from other markets?
Well, we've studied the consumers and the marketers across Asia Pacific. We published a study last year which had marketers and consumers in equal proportion across Asia. And we found that there are differences in this part of the world, and also demographic differences, changes in behaviors that are more permanent. You would think that everybody moves the same way, but not. Certain more older individuals who experienced digital for the first time last year have moved in that direction more permanently than you would have expected, right? And a lot of brands have found people engaging with them in different ways. The one thing that came out very strongly in all of this is that the brands that really think about how they engage with their consumers get a better response, and the consumers themselves engage better with brands who think about that message like care. And then the word around this is empathy. It's all about really building an understanding into that. And it is what is the foundation of personalization.
I think one thing we need to talk about is customer connection. And I think a lot of countries in Southeast Asia has been having this big push towards digital economy. How do you feel about digital economy running on customer connection?
Well, I think the great thing about digital is that you can reach your customer wherever they are, and even in foreign markets if you're a domestic player, right? So it gives you a certain amount of scale. And the great thing about the digital shift in the past 18 months in particular is that so many more people have got used to engaging through these digital channels and connecting with brands. And the brands are investing in those digital channels. And what we're seeing is that once you've got your channel, then it's about, first of all, the message, as I've talked about, being empathetic, but also then how do you really understand the different customer behavior in those channels and respond to that? How do you measure how different consumers pass through your different channels? What do they do? How do they convert to buying your product or service? And then what can you do to identify groups of those customers and treat them slightly differently? Maybe it's a demographic segment, or maybe it's a geographic one, something like that. And the use of this information that comes from these digital channels helps brand to really tailor their offerings and come back to being very personalized.
All right. Simon, we'll go for a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about the suite of products that Adobe has. Welcome back. I have with me Simon Dale of Adobe. We're talking about the company per se, but of course, if anybody is going to accuse Adobe is having too much products to a point where users might not know what is what, and there could be some overlapping as well. People want to be productive. People want to know what tools are best suited for them. Has there been a rethink into how you guys are streamlining your products to ensure that it fits the right users?
Yeah, well, we've organized our products and services into three main areas, depending on what somebody's trying to do in this digital economy. So first of all, our creative suite in our creative cloud is all the capabilities that you mentioned at the beginning, the Photoshop, Lightroom, and all of those tools to create digital content to be passed through digital channels. We also have our document cloud, which has been very important for small businesses and large businesses with our Adobe Sign solution and PDF document management to be able to transact. And particularly during the COVID crisis, we saw a big shift to people using that as a way of transacting that last mile that used to be done in person and digitizing that as well. And then the third dimension to our business, which has really taken off in the past few years, is our Experience Cloud, which is all about helping brands to engage with their customers through mobile and web digital channels and do commerce with them, and also to measure what those customers are doing through those channels so they can personalize that experience.
Simon, the pandemic has hit businesses differently, both for better or worse. Companies that were reluctant to get on digital are now on digital. Companies that already on digital are now improving themselves there, improving their channels, trying to reach more customers in a swifter way, more efficient way. How has the pandemic shifted customers' expectations for privacy and personalization? And in turn, how do you think brands are rethinking their personalized customer experience in order to suit those demands?
Well, we at Adobe, we take pride in privacy by design in our solutions because we are a business that serves consumers and small businesses. So we've had to take data privacy and security and governance very seriously. So when we help other brands to do that, we've built in that practitioner experience to cover that particular area and make sure that the data that we're helping other brands to collect and to use is covered by the correct regulations, the right policies and security protocols and so on. And it's a good way to also engage with customers to know that you're a trusted brand, right? That you're not going to abuse their data and use it in ways that's inappropriate. So that's a part of what I say is our privacy by design. And then really it's about helping brands to leverage that capability in the right way to deliver the personalized experiences that consumers are expecting.
And of course, the second half is on the drive towards personalization. Do you think that the pandemic is, pushing customers towards this end of the user experience, or it's still very much generalized?
Oh, no. I think personalization is a differentiator for all businesses. It doesn't matter what size they are, right? If you look at some of the brands that are doing really, really well, then they are listening to their customers, and not just digitally, right? I mean, like ourselves, we're doing these surveys to get the market pulse from both our marketer customers and their customers so we can help them to understand what consumers are doing and responding to. So with that offline data combined with the online data that we manage as well, then we're able to put a pretty rich picture together about what's happening. And as I said earlier, the brands that are creating very personalized experiences from understanding the customers, what they want in the particular moment. One example from last year is those brands that actually acknowledged that the COVID's going on and this is how we can help you through COVID, we're actually getting very, very good engagement with their products and services.
So it seems like there's a delicate balance between trying to understand more about the customer and ensuring that data privacy is maintained. And this has led to a big debate. And of course, one of the bigger, more famous debate is between Facebook and Apple. Very recently, in fact, I think this week, if I'm not mistaken, Apple has pushed out their latest iOS, asking apps not to track This has impacted Facebook and their plethora of apps, including WhatsApp and Instagram. And of course, I know you can't comment on those two guys, but let's talk more about how brands can learn more from their customers while not breaching data privacy laws, or at least not being creepy, I guess, following me across all the apps and what I do on my phone.
Yeah, well, I think it's in this new world, this world of cookies, right? So cookies were the little technical things that people used to track or use to track people across the web, and that's what's been impacted by these changes. And it requires people to rethink about how they capture data and use data on their customers. And of course, we just talked about the security and governance aspects, but there's a shift very much to using building data from, as I said, the interactions with customers that you do. And people had a lot of data. If you were a bank, for example, you already had a lot of data about your customer, but you only had that data when the customer really engaged with you through your traditional channels, whether they went into a branch, did a transaction. Now a lot of banking has moved online, so you've got more opportunity to capture the same data, just in a different channel. It happens to be online. But it's your data, right? It's the data of that the bank can use to improve the products and services to a group of customers. And it's not that different from having someone in a physical bank branch observing what customers are doing when they come in and what they might look at and so on, versus what they're doing on the digital channels. But it's then how you use that. If you're using it to ethically really improve your products and service to your customer, then you're within the boundaries, you're using it in a proper governed way inside your organization, then that's a benefit for your customers and for your business itself.
And with that in mind, do you think that this is going to be a permanent way of moving forward on how brands are going to, I don't know, restructure themselves or think about how to serve their customers better?
Oh, it is. It's very much a big trend to what the industry is calling a first party data, right? Which is enriching your own data set for your own use in improving your business and improving how you serve your customers. And so we're looking at a lot of customers and ourselves, right? Building a customer data platform and using that to aggregate all the different kinds of data, because it's not as simple as it used to be 10, 15 years ago, when the only data you had was in traditional databases and it was very easy to manage. These days, there's different kinds of data from these channels and you want to look at it in different ways. There's a far greater need to do different kinds of more advanced analysis on this information and use that to improve your business decisions and also what you're doing with your customers. So we see that, and it's very much about not just building the technical infrastructure, but a big focus for us is helping our customers to build the soft skills on how can you understand what data is important, particularly when is it important, and then what do you do with the insights that you get from analyzing that.
Fantastic. One more break, Simon. When we come back, we'll talk more about Adobe as the company itself. We'll be right back after these messages. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Simon Dale of Adobe Southeast Asia. Simon, let's talk a little bit more about the company itself. In this digital economy, everybody knows that a stronger ecosystem with a more robust participants within the ecosystem would mean everyone benefit. But at the same time, you guys are functioning in a frenemy kind of situation, and there's a lot of competitions coming in. How do you ensure that you guys get ahead, I suppose, on top of your competitors, but at the same time, try to ensure that everything else works seamlessly, particularly in a digitized economy and in a robust, globalized economy?
It's a very good question, Ibrahim. Thank you. I think there's a couple of dimensions to this. First and foremost is our customer community. We've got to continually deliver value to that community and show them that we understand what their needs are and where they need us to develop new products and services or enhance what we have that they're already using. So you've said as a user, right, you use us to help you with your video and image editing and production. And there's a lot of people doing that with the creative solutions. But then It's if you're in a business, you're saying, well, okay, I've got this great digital content I've created. How do I get it to my customers? And then how do I measure my customers' response to that? And then what do I do when they give me some feedback? And that's also part of our value chain and how we differentiate ourselves in the market to say, hey, we really understand not just creating digital experiences, but also engaging and improving those digital experiences continually. And that's a big focus for us.
And of course, you have items like Adobe Creative Cloud, which integrates with Google Cloud and Slides. And of course, these items, you know, it's important for everything to work well together seamlessly. But at the same time, your collaborators are also coming up with similar products that might push users to use their products. This is not new, at least in the tech space. Where do you see Adobe trying to get more customer retention at a time when competitors are rolling out products that are a bit similar to yours?
Well, I think I'd rather use the word co-opetition, right? And that's a bit of a couple of words mashed together, but it's been at least an IT industry term we've used for quite some time. I'll give you an example, right? We partner very strongly with Microsoft, and there's not a lot of overlap in any competitive aspect. A little bit, but mostly we found clear area where we can team. And one example I give you, I mentioned Adobe Sign earlier, for example, and with the shift to remote working, Microsoft Teams is being used more and more, and a lot of companies are using Microsoft Teams to do business transactions. Now, if you're discussing a contract or you know, insurance or something through that medium, when you finish the conversation, you need to have somebody sign something. So we've built Adobe Sign into that virtual world so they can do the transaction and finish the job instead of having to go offline. It's that kind of partnering that we see bringing joint value to our customers and our joint ecosystem. And it's that kind of smart working with these other big players in the industry on joint value propositions, which is really helping us all to benefit from this shift more and more to the digital economy.
Fantastic. Simon, Adobe is a pioneer in consumer computing, desktop publishing, PDF. You guys did it. But then there's that flash, untimely demise that all of us were mourning globally together. But at the same time, it is a stark reminder that everything is revolving right now. What is in store for Adobe in the next, I don't know, 10 years, 20 years? What are you guys up to?
Well, I don't see this shift to digital ending, right? There was, before COVID, I think people would have a business strategy and they would have a digital strategy. Today, they have a strategy and digital is a non-negotiable part of that. And I think that is not going to change. It's not going to go backwards. Everybody now needs more and more digital. The opportunity for us at Adobe is to help customers understand what that means. Adobe itself, in the past 10 years, has gone through its own digital transformation. It's a very powerful story that before I joined Adobe, I studied as a case study in transformation. And I was very pleased when I came in to really understand how Adobe did that. And over the past 10 years, we've become the second largest software company in the world, thanks to that transformation and our leaning in to doing digital customer experience. So whilst everybody else is getting started on this and at different levels of the journey, we have a lot of practitioner experience to share, as well as some of the solutions we've built to help other people do it in a shorter time than we did.
Does that mean also that a lot of money is going to be invested in this transformation process? Is this transformation ongoing? Do you have a timeline that is a clear indicator that you guys have said to each other, okay, we're done transforming, this is the way forward?
Oh, I think we're not saying we're done in any area at all. Transformation, in particularly in business transformation, right, in this world where you've not just got incumbents competing with you, but you've got upstarts. Like, say, for example, in Southeast Asia with the new digital banking licenses, right? The incumbent banks are going, hey, we need to get our act together and move quickly. So I don't think anything's ever going to be finished. But what we're focused on, and particularly with our own transformation experience, is how can we help businesses of all sizes have quick wins, right? What can they do first? What will have an impact and what will then get the organization to see the value of moving into digital more quickly. That's really our focus. This isn't something which is a massive thing that's going to take years. We really want to engage with our customers in saying, we can deliver value. These are the discrete areas where we have impact. And then you can go and expand things and move more things across into different areas of the business.
That's fantastic. That's a fantastic way to end, actually. Simon, I can't wait to get you in my studio in KL when all this is over. But until then, stay safe, stay healthy, stay away from people, I suppose. Oh, but then again, you are vaccinated, so I guess you can meet people.
Yes. Right, thank you very much. I look forward. KL was my very last trip last year before COVID hit. I'd love to come back.
When was that? 2019 or you invented 2020?
It was Chinese New Year last year, just before everything locked down.
All right. Okay, until then, thanks very much. You have been watching Notepad. If you missed any part of this interview, just head on to astroawani.com, look for Notepad or look for Adobe, and you can find a lot of interviews like this there. Until then, thanks very much for watching and enjoy your weekend.